Find in your Bibles, if you would, Matthew chapter number 15 today. Matthew chapter 15. If you wanted to find Mark chapter 7, we'll go back and forth between those two passages. Matthew 15, Mark chapter number 7. I want to preach to you today, what makes a great mom? What makes a great mom? You know, I believe we are living in a day and a culture today where I'm not sure that greatness is celebrated as much as it used to be. It used to be a drive in a man or a woman to be great. Used to be a drive in a young man and a young woman to achieve great things. Used to be a drive, even in, I believe, our own nation, to be great. I don't know what has happened to our culture today, but I do believe we have been robbed from the desire of greatness. We have allowed mediocrity to become the greatness of the day. I think as a culture, as a people, as a nation, sad to say, as generations, I'm not sure I see in our world today the drive for greatness that was once witnessed by so many of you. I am afraid that we have resigned ourselves that greatness is unachievable. We have resigned ourselves that greatness was something that happened in the past and cannot be repeated. I'm afraid that we have resigned ourselves to think that I could never be great. I appreciate Brother Neil. I love him dearly. He's more than just a friend. He's an advisor and a mentor and a counselor and a prayer warrior for me. And he had a wonderful verse. Where there is no vision, people perish. As a pastor, I'm beginning to see the lack of vision in our homes. And I am afraid that even though if anybody ought to have vision, it should be the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. But I'm beginning to see that spark diminish in our eyes. I think we're diminishing from our homes. We're diminishing in the greatness in our attempts and our creativity. And I guess there are many places where we are vulnerable to this. But I do believe that if there's one place that we as a people could be wounded dearly, almost a death blow, It will be when the mothers of our land surrender their vision to be great. And I'm afraid, and I do not want that to happen for the people of Plantation Baptist Church. If you are a mother in this room today, I do not want you to surrender or yield your vision to be great. We need godly mothers. Amen. I think we have let the world redefine greatness for us. We have considered you to be a great mother now if you are able to provide great things for your children. I guess we would say great mothers have materialism. They have great homes. They have great lives. They have great opportunity. They have They may have great patience or great understanding. And what we have done is we have taken a lot of non-biblical things and used them to define greatness. Mom, I need you to understand something today. No two lives will ever be considered fairly equal. You're not going to be able to look at your neighbor or look at the people in this room, and you're not going to be able to look down the road, and you're not going to be able to look within your own family or within your own siblings and find an equality to life. Some people go through life and it seems like they don't have any tragedy, and others seems like they have a life of tragedy. Some people go through life and there's never no sickness, but others' lives only know sickness. Some wombs are fruitful and people can mother their own children, and then some wombs are barren, and you have to mother somebody else's child that becomes your child, or some homes know 55 years of marriage, and some homes know 55 days and they have a divorce. Some homes know dysfunctionalism, and some homes know order, and some homes know incompleteness, and some homes know completeness. And so there aren't lives that measure up in equality. And if you begin to allow yourself to measure and view other people's lives, and you're looking at some kind of stability from that, you will know nothing but instability. So sometimes we look at somebody else's life and we say, they have reason to be great. They have opportunity to be great. They have potential to be great. Therefore, they should be great, but I will never know greatness. I'm so glad for the Word of God. If you're glad for the Word of God, say amen. Mother, the Bible teaches us that all mothers can be great. And I think I believe I have found an example of a great mother in Matthew chapter 15. She's not a mother that has an ideal situation. She's not a mother that has potential or opportunity or all of these things to be great. Yet Jesus said, she's a great mother. I don't know about you, but it matters to me not what other people think, but what Jesus thinks of me. And we find the key to her greatness, if you would pick up in Matthew 15, verse number 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Strange response from the Lord Jesus. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. That was their typical response. For she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him and saying, Lord, help me. Boy, there's a mother's prayer. Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. What a seemingly harsh statement to such a needy woman. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy, say it class, faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What makes a great mom? Same thing that makes a great dad. What makes a great person? Same thing that makes a great mom and makes a great dad. What makes a great husband? Same thing that makes a great mom, makes a great dad, and makes a great person. What makes a great wife? Same thing that makes all the others. My friends, greatness is not defined by what you have on the outside. Greatness is defined by what you are on the inside. Every single mother can be great because every single mother can possess great faith. It is faith that makes a person great. You ought to read the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. It's the hall of faith. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. The Bible says there's two kinds of faith, ladies, and I beg you to hear me. There's saving faith, for by grace are you saved through faith. I was witnessing this week to somebody, and they come from a background of works, and they thought they had to do good works to be saved. And the Bible clearly says that there is not a single good work that you can do that would earn you salvation. Take your whole life, take all of your works and lump them into a pile, and they could not merit to you eternal life. The only work that was ever needed for you to be saved has already been finished on the cross of Calvary. Amen? So salvation's not by what you do, it's by faith. You must believe and receive and put your trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call that saving faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7 talks about we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. There's a walking faith. There's a living faith. You cannot have a living and walking faith that without having a personal faith in the Lord Jesus. Saving faith enables you to know walking faith. Every single mother can know greatness because every single mother can know Jesus Christ. Every single father can be a great father because every single father can know Jesus Christ. Every single mother can be a great mother in the way that she orders her home and serves her children because she can have the living and walking and daily faith from the Word of God. And my friends, I know that the world wants to define motherhood. And I want to be real careful here, but I want to say some things, Mom, that you need to know and help you. Number one, Hollywood wouldn't know motherhood if it smacked her in the face. You can watch all of those shows you want to watch, and you can buy all the magazines you want to watch, and you can be moved as emotionally as you possibly can be moved. But I hold in my hand the eternal true Word of God. And anybody that gives you counsel or direction away from the book is not going to minister or meet the need. And so they're going to define greatness, and they're going to have a picture of what a great mother is, and they're going to put that picture in front of you constantly, and the musicians are going to write songs about it, and then the musicians are going to write songs about what a great mother is, and then they're going to write songs about what a great mother is not. Normally, I find that I'm identifying or I'm pictured by the world's music as to what's not what is great, but what's not great. And so the musicians are going to write their songs, and the movie makers are going to work the movie, and the talk shows are going to have their opinions, and the polls are going to show direction, and the media is going to push you a direction toward motherhood. But I want you to understand something. The foundation of motherhood is found in the Word of God. The greatest goal of every single mother should be to know Jesus as their Savior. And then the goal from that is you ought to have in your heart that desire for that saving faith and that walking faith to be passed on to your children. Don't you remember the Apostle Paul when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy? He said, "Now, Timothy, I see in you faith, son. I see in you a saving faith. I see in you a living and walking faith. I see in you what was in your mother. I see in you what was in your mother, but I see in her what was in her mother." And so, Timothy, I see in your grandmother and I see in your mother the same faith that you have. And it ought to be the goal of every mother that the faith of Jesus and the faith of the Word of God is transitioned and passed down. Mom, you could leave your kid, Mom and Dad, you could leave them an inheritance that would have no price tag on it. But to not leave your children faith in Jesus Christ is to do them a disservice. Ought to be the goal of every mother to pass down that faith and knowing in the Lord. We meet this woman, and I believe her to be a model of a great mom. She's not without problems. She's troubled. Matter of fact, if you see in verse number 22, her daughter is demon-possessed. Not only is she troubled because her daughter is demon-possessed, but we learn from Mark chapter 7 that it's a young daughter that's demon-possessed. I'm not a mother, I'm a father. But I know this, fathers and mothers have the same mindset. When our children are troubled, we're troubled. When our children can't sleep, we can't sleep. When our children are afraid, we're afraid for them. When our children are sick, we're troubled. When our children have a problem, we're troubled. When our children go through difficult times, we ache and we hurt. And as long, whenever you have children, or whenever you maybe you've adopted a child or you're fostering a child, but whenever your heart is knit to a child, when that child has trouble, you will be troubled. And this woman is troubled beyond measure. Her little girl is demon-possessed. Pastor, how horrible is that, that that girl was born that way? No, that girl wasn't born that way, my friends. Look, if you would, at verse number 22. The Bible says, and behold, a woman of, say that name, Canaan. Do you remember Canaan? Does Canaan sound in your mind as a familiarity? Canaan, where have I heard the land of Canaan before? I'll tell you exactly where you heard the land of Canaan. Do you remember when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt? And they were coming out of Egypt, and God had promised them a promised land. And God said, hey, I got a place where the milk and honey flow. I got a place where the fruits are great. I got a place where I'm going to care for you. And it's called the land of Canaan. And they were to come out of Egypt, and they were to possess their land. Now, they messed up and they had to spend those 40 years in the wilderness, but Canaan was always there. But do you know, before the nation of Israel was to go into Canaan, there were cultures there. There were generations. There were people there. Don't you remember when the 10 spies went into the land of Canaan, or the 12 spies, and they came back and 10 of them said, man, there's giants over there in that land. And we're like, but grasshoppers. And Joshua and Caleb, they had the courage to go in. But God said, now, I want the nation of Israel to go over there into the land of Canaan, and I want you to wipe those folks out. I want you to kill every single one of them. Pastor, that's horrible. Why would God do that? Listen, he said, I want you to go in there and not leave any of them standing. I want you to go in there and I'm going to give you their land. Why would God do that? Why would God wipe out cultures and generations and people and give the land to the nation of Israel? Because those folks had been in that land for many years, and they had committed sin and atrocity, and they had committed horrible wickedness, and they had not repented. And the Bible says, for the wage of sin is what, class? Death. So there is a judgment and a wage to sin. And their sin was grotesquely immoral. I'll just give you a description of what was going on. Underneath their guise of worship, women were laying down with beasts. You get the picture of that, right? God himself said to the nation of Israel, when you get into the land, don't do all of these things that I have told you. And in the midst of that, he told the nation of Israel, don't let your women lay down with a beast. And then he goes on and he says, because that is exactly what these people have done. That's why they're being judged. And so everything God told the nation of Israel not to do was being done in the land of Canaan. And it was being done under the guise of worship. It was done under the guise of religion. So come back to our situation now. We've got this woman from the land of Canaan. This woman shouldn't even be alive, but the nation of Israel didn't do what God told them to do. They didn't go in there and clean those people out. So those cultures were allowed to go. Pretty soon they married in. And so you've got this little woman now, and she's got all of that background, and she finds now that she's got a child that's got a demon spirit. Where did that demon spirit come from? I'll tell you exactly where it come from. You must be careful about false worship and false religion. You must be careful about honoring any other god, small g, other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And mom and dad, if you exalt any kind of god that is not the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not protecting your home. And it is so important, dad and mom, so important today, that you are protecting and directing your home according to the word of God. I want to teach you something. Don't forget it. The amount of attack that is coming into our homes today, and the avenues that the attacks are coming into our home, are more than we can keep up with. You have a television. My television probably has, and I'm not against television, I got three of them. And I watch them, especially the Miami Heat. Praise Jesus for answered prayer on the Miami Heat. And we'll be fasting after Mother's Day for tomorrow. Just kidding. But I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of channels. My kids got electronic devices. I can't even go to Publix and they're on their devices. And sometimes I just tell them, we're going to leave all your electronic devices in the house. What are we going to do? You're going to sit there and look out the window like I did when I was a kid. And you got Twitter and you've got Facebook and you've got Instagram. Let me just say a couple of things about this. Every single parent ought to go home, not today, but tomorrow, and check all your kids' accounts. Shame, I use the word shame and foolish, is the parent that is not keeping up with their child in these areas. That one was for free. You don't have to pay me for that one. All right. But it's just coming from everywhere. Well, Pastor, we can't just get rid of all of that stuff. No, I don't think you do. Do you know what the greatest guard you are in your home to protect your kids? It's the Spirit of God in you. It's walking with the Lord and the Lord using His Spirit to prick your spirit. Sometimes you'll be walking past your kid and they'll be doing something and all of a sudden your spirit is just pricked. Whoa, I need to find out what's going on here. Or I need to find out what's going on over here. Or I'm pricked about this. Every dad and mom needs to walk with the Lord in such a way that our spirit is in tune with the Spirit of God. That when the Spirit of God is grieved, our spirit is grieved. When the Spirit of God is pricked, our spirit is pricked. A preacher can tell you, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, go here, don't do this, and don't do this. And I can tell you that till I'm blue in the face, it won't help you a lick. But I promise you, the Spirit of God will never disappoint you. And the problem is our moms and dads aren't walking with the Lord. And so we don't have the mind of Christ. We don't have the Word of God in our heart. And so all we're left to is our own ability, our own opinions. And we're so kind of messed up ourselves and our marriages. And our marriages are suffering so bad. And our problems in our home and our finances and all that is coming on. That it's almost like we've set aside being the parent. Oh, the Bible says a child left to himself will bring his mother shame. And so here we have a mother and they left their home wide open to false worship and the false gods. And now they've got a little girl who's been possessed by a false spirit and she is troubled. Go to Mark chapter 7. Look, if you would, at verse number 25. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. What are those next three words? Heard of him. Oh, this lady is in the land of Canaan. She's in this coast and she's troubled. And somehow she hears about Jesus Christ. She hears about who he is, the Son of David, the Messiah. She hears that he is the Lord. And in hearing in that, something happens in her heart. I believe that even before she ever met him, she trusted him. And in hearing about him, something began to grow. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, faith cometh by, say it class, hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. So this woman has begun to hear about the Word. She has begun to hear about Jesus Christ. And in the midst, in the depth of the darkness, in the devastation of her demon-possessed girl, her miserable life, in the sorrow of that, hope begins to spring. By the way, I don't care how dark your life is, if you turn to Jesus Christ, He'll bring you hope. She begins to hear about Jesus, hear, and faith begins to build. I wonder what she heard about the Lord. I wonder if she heard about his power. I wonder if she heard about his kindness, his patience. I wonder if she heard about his ability. What did she hear? She heard something about Jesus that began to spring in her heart that brought forth belief and faith and expectancy and hope, and it began to grow in this mother who can look back at her life and say, whoa, did I make some mistakes? And I wasn't a great mother, is now on her way to knowing greatness. Great moms have great faith. I want to show you what great faith does. Look, if you would, at verse number 22. The Bible says, and she came out of the same coast. You know, mom, great faith brings with it great courage. Great courage. We need courageous moms today, do we not? We need moms to have some courage. We need moms to have courage to try the impossible. Let me explain something to you about what the strength of courage. Courage to overcome. Courage to be persistent and consistent. Courage that says, sees barriers but doesn't let those trouble her. This woman had tremendous obstacles in her life. She was not being treated politically correct. Today, if you work in a business, somewhere in your business, there's a statement that says we do not discriminate against race, sex, creed, this or that. All this woman knew was discrimination. Her race was against her. She was a Gentile. She did not have the authority or the standing inside the Jewish economy because she's a Gentile. Her sex was against her. She was a woman. She didn't have the authority or the standing of a man. She wasn't allowed to be that aggressive and that intrusive. She wasn't allowed to do that. She had the disciples against her. They're saying, send her away. She even mentions to the Lord Jesus, and he doesn't say anything to her. I mean, this woman had everything against her that was pointing to her to impossibility, yet we find her to be courageous. What sparked that courage? Faith did. An understanding of who Jesus is. Moms, this is not the day to surrender. It's the day to stand up and be courageous. But I think we're getting beat down so bad that we just want to resign ourselves we can't find courage. Pastor, I just can't find it within me to have the courage. Listen, there is nothing within you as a woman that's going to bring about courage. Courage must be brought to you by the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not a search within you and your ability. It's a search within God and His Word. And we are living in a day where all mothers must understand that they can be great and they better be great. We have great difficulty and great problems, and our children are being devoured in front of us. And we don't need to provide for them all of this materialism, although there's nothing wrong in this per se. But we need mothers with faith and with courage to stand up and try the impossible. Last time I read in my Bible, I read that there's nothing impossible with God. Mom, are you courageous or have you laid down your armor? Are you courageous or have you resigned yourself that there will never be greatness in my life or in my home? Are you courageous or have you given up the fight? Pastor, you don't know how difficult it is. Listen, this little woman knew great difficulty. Look, if you would, in verse number 24, when she finally gets to the Lord Jesus, she finally is able to say what she needs to say. He answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, finish those two words. Help me. Help me. Pastor, I'm here today, And I'm a mother, and I really have surrendered what I thought would be what great things God could do. I have just kind of resigned that I'm just an average mom. My mom was an average mom. We don't have a lot of things. And yeah, our home is just going to be meager and mediocre. And man, as long as my kids get out and do this or whatever, but I've just yielded that. But you've lost your courage. You've lost your consistency and your persistence. This woman here, she got to the point where nothing was going to stop her. She wanted and needed the Lord's help. And there were no barriers that could get into the way of that. You can be great, Mom. You can be great because we have a great Lord Jesus. Amen? You can be great because you can know Him in saving faith and because you can walk with Him in living faith. You can know courage. You can know the reality of the impossibility. You don't have to let difficulties stop you. There needs to be a persistency in there. Pastor, I don't know what to do. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I'll tell you what else great faith will do. Not only will it bring courage to you for overcoming and consistency and persistency, but great faith will anchor you to truth. It will anchor you to truth. Look, if you would, at verse number 26 or verse 25. Here comes this woman. Now, you got to stay with me in the context. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet or fit to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Pastor, how in the world could Jesus be so venomous? Let me tell you something. He's not being venomous here. There's a word here for dogs. When the Pharisees, it was true, they referred to Gentiles as dogs. But when the Pharisee used the word dog, he was talking about a street mongrel mutt. He was talking about a dog that would do all of the disgusting things that you could think about. He's talking about a dog that is rabid. He's talking about a dog that's not worth bringing in your home. He's talking about a dog that has no existence and just lives according to its animalistic instinct. That's the word the Pharisees were using. Jesus isn't using that word. Jesus is using the word of little pet. A little pet. So your little Fufu or Fifi that's at home, this is what he's talking about. And you love your little pet, do you not? Yeah, I guess so. And Jesus is teaching this woman something. And he's got her here. And he's not being venomous with her. By the way, let me explain something to you. You will never come to Jesus and find him having venom. Never. I got to say this about our kids, because here's what's happening. A lot of the reason that our kids are leaving Baptist churches is because they've run into venom somewhere. A Baptist preacher can be venomous. A Baptist deacon can be venomous. Baptist church members can be venomous. A Sunday school teacher can be venomous. Women can be venomous. Men can be venomous. Children can be venomous. So what happens is some kid has a difficulty or a trouble or a trial, or they've failed miserably, and they come to find forgiveness and grace or some kind of help. And instead of running into the grace and truth of Jesus Christ, they run into the venom of somebody with some legalistic understanding or some kind of legalistic pull. And so instead of receiving the grace of Christ, they receive the venom of the flesh. And it so repulsed them that now our kids that are growing up in Baptist churches, they leave our Baptist churches and they go to charismatic churches. They go to Pentecostal churches. They go to non-denominational churches, and they sit there because they feel like they're loved. And so for a while, it's just like this freedom of love, and finally somebody understands and appreciates me. The problem is they're not being taught the eternal truth of God, and they begin to hunger for that truth of God's word. And so they're in a position where they be loved, but they want to come back, but they're afraid of the venom, and they're afraid of the retaliation. They're afraid of being called a dog. They're afraid of not being forgiven and received. If you're here and you've been wounded like that, please do not associate venom from some man with the grace that comes with Jesus Christ. Amen. Shame on us for being venomous to the repentant spirit. Jesus is not being venomous here. He's not killing the woman. He's teaching her something. Look, if you would, at verse number 27. And she said, what's that word? Truth. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. So what happened to this lady? She's had difficulty and trouble, but she became a great mom. Her child gets rescued in just a few moments and delivered. And she was a great mom because she had great faith, and that great faith brought to her courage, and that great faith brought to her an overcoming and a consistency and a persistency, and that great faith brought her to a position where it anchored her to the truth of God's word. So Jesus, she comes to Jesus, and Jesus gives her a true statement, and then she responds with a true statement. Matter of fact, the statement is so true that Jesus in Luke chapter 16 uses it in a parable. I'm talking about the rich man that died, but Lazarus sat eating the crumbs that fell from his table. Jesus knew that was a true statement. Sometimes, mother, the truth will be nasty. It will be hurtful. It will be ugly. It will be painful. And it will look impossible. True, Pastor. My kid's a mess. True, Pastor, my kid's lost. Man, Pastor, it's true. It looks like it's impossible. True, Pastor, I've made mistakes. True, we don't have much. True, my mom treated me horribly. True, I didn't have a good example. True, man, I don't have much help at home. True, my life is in this need. True, this is happening. True, true. And the truth will be there. And if you're not careful and you don't anchor yourself to truth, you will let the truth of that certain situation hinder you from responding with truth. I think it would go something like this. Yeah, my kid's unsaved, but I got the promise of God's word that it's not his will that all men should perish, but all men should repent. Amen. Hey, true. It looks impossible, God, but you said nothing is impossible with you. True, I've made mistakes, but you said the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all my sin. True, I don't have much, but you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. True, I was mistreated here, but you said you would take me up. True, it looks hopeless, but there's hope in Jesus. True, it's miserable, but I know the peace of God. Yeah, there's truth in my life, Pastor, but then you better respond to that with the truth of God's word. And my friend, my mother, mothers out there, it is the eternal word of God. Great faith, great mothers, they know how to anchor themselves to the truth of God's word, because there's going to be times in your life it's going to look where the truth is defeating. But hallelujah, we've got the word of God. Look, if you would, at verse number 27, and I'll finish. She said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that, say the words, very hour. Mom, great moms have great faith. And great faith brings great victory. You're not going to know victory without faith. You are not going to know victory without faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. Would you look at Mark chapter 7 for a second? Let me teach you a principle here to help you. Mark chapter 7, would you look at verse number 30? This is the same story here, told twice in the Gospels. Verse number 30 says, "And when she was come to her house, then the devil left her." Does your Bible read like that? I hope it doesn't. Verse number 30, are you there? Nod your noggin. Are you there? I should be able to hear those things rattling around in there. That's your brain. Mark chapter 7, verse 30, "And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out." Now listen to this. Jesus recognized that faith, and there was a great victory from that very hour. But the woman didn't realize or see the victory till she got home. I don't think she got an iMessage. I know she didn't get a FaceTime. Hey, look, here we go. I don't think she got a text or an email. She had the word of Jesus Christ. He said, "Your daughter's whole." She believed it in that moment. Amen. But she didn't see it with her own eyes until she got home. Some of you mothers need to understand something. Pastor, my child or my needs, I'm just not seeing any blessing or any hope. Problem is, you're not receiving your victory. You're going by what you see. You see, you have a need with your child, or you have a need in your home. The best thing for you to do is get into this book and find the promise that meets your need. For there does not exist a need that is not met by the promise and person of Jesus Christ. So mom, get in the book, get the answer to your problem. Find out, study, get the verse. Yes, truth, Lord, I'm in trouble. But I got this verse right here, and it says that you are a present help in the time of trouble. When you have God's word, you have God's victory. You have God's power. You may not see it in your lifetime. You may not physically see it in your lifetime. But just because you don't see it with your physical eyes doesn't mean it didn't happen in the heart and mind of God or in your life. Some of you are so panicked. You're so panicked about what's going to happen. What you need to do is you need to come to the Word of God and get that peaceful answer and then take your victory now. And now, and then you don't ride the roller coaster of the drama of the, your children's life. You know complete victory. And Lord, if I see it with my physical eyes, fine. If my life ends, fine. But I got your word and it will not return void. That's being a great mom. Amen. Great moms have great faith. They don't have all the materialism. Every one of you can be a great mom. Question is, do you want to be a great mom? Pastor, I want to be a great mom. You better be saved. You must trust Christ. Then you got to walk by faith. And you let that faith bring about courage. You let that faith anchor you to the truth. You let that faith bring you to the point of victory. Whether you see it in your physical eyes or not, you trust the Word of God. Oh, listen. Hallelujah. For good, godly, and great moms, shall we pray?